No, it's been a long time since I've been up here and tried to talk. And I'm really hoping that my memory and my being able to keep things organized works. But anyway, I am speaking on David and Goliath, but I'm not really. It's about the story of David and Goliath. But each of us, you know, we see these stories and we read them in the Bible, and they're interesting, and they have so much meaning in them, which helps us in our life. It gives us strength and encouragement. And David is definitely the number one person that gives you the strength and encouragement. I love the story of David and Goliath. You know, everybody talks about him being a little boy. We're not really sure of his exact age, but I'm assuming he's probably somewhere between 16 and 18 years old, because he's got three brothers in the service, and the service age is 20 years old. And he had three other brothers, so if you figure it out, if they had children at the same rate, he'd be somewhere around 16 or 18 years old. And thing is, David was dedicated to God. God was the most important thing in his life. He sung songs to him, he prayed to him, and he showed him all the time how much he appreciated what he did for him. And we see that David took care of sheep. He was out there taking care of the sheep all the time. And that gave him a lot of time to meditate and look at the wonders that God gives us. I know whenever I was growing up, the one thing I enjoyed more than anything is to get away from everybody and get out in the wild and trap, hunt, fish, and look at the wonders of the world. Many things that God gives us. And I can see David being the same way. But anyway, we see that the story of David and Goliath starts out where the Philistines come and the children of Israel come out and they're lining up to battle. One's on one side of the hill. This is in the 17th chapter of Samuel. And one's on one side of the hill, and the other one's on the other side of the hill, and they're looking down here at each other with a valley laid out in front of them. Normally, during the sieges and the fights and the battles that happen with the different armies, whoever thought they had the best advantage would be the one who did the attacking or staying back to defend herself. But in this case here, we're looking at 40 days where these two armies are across from each other. And to get us up to speed, David's sent by his father to take some goodies to his brothers and to get word of how they were doing and take it back to Jesse. And in this case, they're lined up, ready for battle, and David comes down, and he walks into the line of soldiers and that, get with his brothers, and starts talking. And all of a sudden, here's this guy comes out. He's a big guy. And how big he is, you know, it's, you know, if you read it, he's 6 cubits, and we don't. Cubit could be anywhere from 14 to 21 inches, I think is the way they say it. But he's a big guy. There's no doubt about it. Probably weighed 300-400 pounds, who knows. And he had armor, which was about 130 pounds. He's got all types of weapons, all the weapons you need to fight people. And they're talking about the armor that he was wearing was about 120, 130 pounds. Talk about the head of the spear that he had was somewhere between 9 to 12 pounds. And then he comes out and he walks in front. And can you imagine, here's David, young guy, never experienced anything like this. And Goliath comes out and he walks out in front of everybody and he starts speaking. He's defying Israel. He's telling them, do you have a man to come up to go against me? I will do battle with him. And if he wins, we'll be your slaves. But if I kill him, then you'll be our slaves. And they come up and do this. But the thing is, whenever Goliath comes out, whenever the children of Israel see him, whenever even Saul, when he sees him, they're scared. They're scared of this guy because of his size and the way that he's, you know, dressed up in that. And I think I look at that as this is some of the things what faces us in our life. We look at problems in our life that seems to be so great that we can't overcome them. And so we just sort of veer away from them. We're scared. We're scared to face it. But David's got a secret weapon, and that's God. He knows that if he has a problem, he'll go to God and ask for the help. He'll ask God to give him the strength. And that's what David did all the time in his life. But anyway, he stands there and he listens to this guy and he's turning around and looking at everybody. So what are you guys going to do about this? And they're going, Brother King says anybody who wants to go up against him, well, he'll give you riches and you marry his daughter and your father won't have to pay taxes anymore. Everything will be great. So David's, this is ridiculous. This guy, somebody needs to take care of him, even if it's me. So anyway, this word gets back to Saul. And Saul asks for David to be brought to him. And David comes before Saul, and he's in there, and he says, and Saul says, you're just a young man. And he says, no. He says, nobody needs to worry and be scared. I will go before Goliath, and I will defeat him. He says, he is basically saying he's just a blowhard. He says, I'm not scared of him. He says, God will take care of him. So Saul says, no, he can't do that. And then David starts talking about his experiences in the wilderness. I've killed the bear. I killed the lion. God's delivered them to me. He allowed me to do this. And I know that God will deliver me from the Philistine. So anyway, Saul finally says, okay, go ahead and fight Goliath. And he goes out. And he's standing on the line with everybody. And I guess this is somewhere around the 40th day. And out comes Goliath. David says, I'm going to go out. So David gets out there, and Goliath looks down. He looks at this little boy or little man, probably the way he looks at it. I guess he was good looking. He had blue eyes and this ruddy complexion. You know, he was really a nice, handsome guy. And bothered, he says, I can't believe that you're sending somebody like this against me. And so David gets out there and he looks at Goliath, and this is where they start telling stories to each other. And what happens is, I lost my place. Hang on. So anyway, in verse 42, he says, when the Philistines looked at Saul and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, handsome in appearance. And the Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. But the Philistines also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Now, this is the part I like best. David comes back with him, and he says, I'm going to do you one better. He says, then David said to the Philistines, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of God, the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead body of the army of Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." And I mean, that's really exciting, people. That is exciting, the way for him to be that way. So now David looks at the Philistine. The Philistine starts walking. He's got his shield bearer in front of him. And then David ran and stood over. Jumped ahead a little bit. And David put his hand in the bag, took from it a stone, and slung it, and struck the Philistines on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead, so that he fell on his face to the ground. And thus David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling, a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. And David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And then the Philistines saw that there was that their champion was dead, and they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and the gates of Ekron, and slain the Philistines laid along the way to Zoran, even to Gath and to Ekron. Now, that was easy. He took care of that, boom, just like that. And I started looking. I said, "Yeah, it's really exciting. I know God's got a lot of meanings behind this. I know there's a lot of things in this which is important." And I started thinking, here we are, a group of people in this world, in this community, with a church, and we're working to try to make this church grow. And we think, just too impossible. It's too expensive to build a building. It's too hard to be able to spread the word in this community. Because you knock, if you go door knocking, you knock on the doors, you know what? Nobody opens the door. Door knocking is like going out and working on strengthening the skin on your knuckles. And I've tried it. I mean, I know they're there. I watch the guy walk into his house, and I run up there, and I knock on the door, ring his doorbell, and doesn't come to the door. And it's sort of a indication that don't bother me. You know, just don't want to be bothered. But the thing is David trusted and loved God. And we should be that way too. We go through this life with every day, same old routine. We see the same people all the time. We don't go out and spread the word to everybody that we see. I try whenever I go out, if we go to the stores, if we're walking down the street and I meet somebody, I always try to say, "Hi, how you doing?" You know, and if they stop, then you can talk to them and see if they're interested in coming to church or you know, I love God. Do you? You know, it's a hard thing to approach. I mean, you don't know how to express yourself and not offend people, because you can end up with a fight. I mean, just by mentioning God to somebody. But I've picked out a few verses which I think it really expresses what God wants us to understand and know. And the first one, and this is Carolyn, it caused me to really look at this verse more than anything else. Matthew 19:26. And it says, "And look at them," Jesus said to them. "Look at them," Jesus said to them. "With people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Yeah. All things. That means not this sometimes or that. all things are possible with God. All you have to do is believe that and trust in God. And that's what David did. Romans 8:37. No, I'm not going to read that one right now. Sorry. Forget that. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that your toils is not in vain in the Lord. So what we do and how we approach things and our attempts to spread the word in this community, it's not in vain. It's like the seed that we're planting. It will come back. It will grow. It might take time for it to happen. And that's what we all need to realize and put in our minds. Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. It's a promise God made to you. Don't fear. Don't be ashamed of doing something other. He will help you get through this. We all know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He does strengthen us. He gives us courage. He gives us a helping hand when we need it. And this one I like too is Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. It's if you think about God put this word out all along, all through the Old Testament. Trust in him, believe in him, and he will give you the strength. He'll give you the ability to be able to accomplish it. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's another promise. Another promise from God. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will encourage us. Psalms 57:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? The strength of your life. He gives you the strength to get through. Psalms 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have I not forsaken those who seek you? O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. If you're after God, if you want him in your life, if you're pursuing, he'll be there for you. It's simple. Now going back to Romans 8 and verse 36. I'm going to read 36 through 39. I was only going to do 37, but I added a couple, took away a few. Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquered through him who loves us. In verse 38, For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. That's what a promise. How can you not take that as a promise? He will be there for you if you want him there. We have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice to be able to accomplish anything in our life. I have many, many more things, but now I'm going to tell you a joke. Just to help you out a little bit. And really, think about what I read to you and what I talked about, and then listen to this. This is a story of four people. Okay? Now you got to keep up with this. Their names was everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody could do it or would do it. Anybody could have done it. Nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. In the end, that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I'm not going to point fingers or say anything like that, but is that not where the church is? I hate to say that. We expect somebody else to take care of it. We feel that if it wasn't done, it was their fault. And it's a simple thing. It's a joke, but it's not a joke. It's the truth. It hurts sometimes. But that's basically the story I got to give you tonight. David and Goliath, I mean, it's an interesting story. Anybody, if you get a spare moment, you say, my Bible's sitting here and I want to read some. Start at the first chapter of Samuel and read through and digest it. Digest every word of it. There's so much in there that we don't realize that's so beneficial to us in our lives. God gives us examples. You watch the children of Israel how, boy, they're on fire and then they're not on fire. They're on fire and they're not on fire. They want Saul and Saul becomes the king. Then Saul gets a big head and thinks that he don't have to listen to anybody. And then along comes David, which God says, hey, that's my boy there. And he wants him to be king. But how many of us realize that? Do we stay on fire or do we end up letting that flame die down? We need to keep God first in our life. We need to make God our major goal. Well, that's my lesson, and I'd like to extend the invitation. If there's anyone that feels that they need the prayers and the help of the congregation, that can be given to you tonight. Us as a group, holding together, are strong and continue to be strong. That's how you grow a church. You grow a church when everybody's working together, going towards the same goal. I think that's one thing we need to start striving on and start working on, is to realize we need to help one another, strengthen one another, and keep all of us encouraged in what we're doing. I do not know if there's anyone, I don't think if there's anyone in the audience, but there might be, that is not a Christian, have never been baptized. God set this up. He, through the line of David, up to Jesus Christ, whenever he came down to this earth and suffered and died upon the cross and shed his blood, he did this for our sins so that we could have our sins forgiven, completely forgiven, washed away. And through baptism, we die with him and then reborn. But if there is anybody that has any needs, the opportunity is theirs as we sing the invitation song.